We will hear argument next in number 21-1575, Sky International against Sky Cinemas. Ms. Lesser? Please begin when you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. There are two fairly simple issues here. First, as a fundamental error, the board bifurcated the opposition from the cancellation without notice or an opportunity to be heard, or without basis as well, which is improper under the Administrative Procedure Act. And because of the bifurcation, the board did not consider record evidence of the DuPont factors in the opposition, including the registrations that were subject to the cancellation, and in particular, the 128 registration for Sky News.
Counsel, I thought that the board didn't consider the 128 registration because it thought other registrations were more similar, not because of some bifurcation.
Your Honor, the Sky News registration, the 128 registration, was also for Sky News, and it was in a simple stylization. The real difference there was that the goods and services were far broader than the two registrations it did consider, and that the mark was subject.
I understand your point. I'm not understanding your bifurcation point, to be honest. And I think maybe your point is that the board erred by not considering the 128 or saying that the services therein were not any more similar than other services. But I'm not understanding your bifurcation point.
Your Honor, the board's decision, specifically when it reviews the record and Sky's arguments, it looks at the record as to the news reporting registrations, which were the block letter registrations for Sky News. Those registrations had the word news disclaimed. The word Sky is the dominant portion of the registration. The 128 registrations also had news disclaimed, and Sky is the dominant part of the registration. There's nothing in the record that, as Your Honor has mentioned, that suggests why that registration would not be viewed. The board,
of course,
in fact,
did observe that the 128 was not block letters, but was stylized.
They are minimally stylized. There are other.
And the board seemed to attach some significance to that fact, as I understand the opinion.
The board states that if it finds confusion with the block letter registrations, it needs not consider the other registrations. The board does not indicate anything about the stylized registration. Except to say that the broader registration in block letters would be, because it's in block letters, is the broadest.
Can I ask you a more basic question here that is confusing me? Which of the various versions of the 128 specification are we supposed to be looking at? Because there are several different versions. There's the July 2020 version, which appears on JA32. There's the November version, which appears on JA21. And then there's a version, that now appears in the on the website, which is yet different again. Similar in most respects, but different in important respects. Which of these is the one that matters for the argument you're making today?
Your Honor, you've raised the most fundamental point here. The one that matters today is the November one, because this case, instead of looking at what was determined in the cancellation, for example, in the Jack Wolfskin case, the board looked at both the cancellation and an opposition at the same time. The registrations are clearly intertwined. Now, to Your Honor's point, if the board, for example, in a patent case where you look at invalidity before you look at infringement, if the position there was that they wanted to look at the validity of the 128 registration, you'd look at that first. But instead of looking at that altogether, they disregarded the services in that registration.
Let me bring you back to my fundamental issue here of which of these we're supposed to be looking at. What you are saying, I think, is that we can ignore the July specification. Is that correct? And we look at the November specification?
We can certainly do that. All of the
we can or should.
I we mean, should.
We should. So anything that was said in the July specification is irrelevant to our current inquiry. Is that what you're saying?
Your Honor, the services that withstood attack remained in the November decision.
Okay, well, the one thing that raised my curiosity was, as you, I'm sure, are aware, there was a footnote in the July to the July registration, footnote 10, which looked like it was making a change, which change does not make its way into the November registration specification. So I take it what you're saying is we can ignore that footnote.
There were, Your Honor.
Now, yes or no?
There were certain factual.
No,
I
want to know whether we can ignore that footnote. Now, now you can explain.
Yes. Yes.
We can ignore it.
Yes. All right. There were particular factual issues that came up. New grounds were asserted after Sky put in its case. There were abandonment claims that were raised, and an answer to those claims were submitted and served and filed after Sky put in its case. And based on that answer, Sky had admitted particular services being deleted and had deleted a couple of registrations as part of that. So what was before the board was actually a more limited list of services and a more limited list of marks when it was looking at the July, in its July opinion. And the footnotes there refer to what was a fairly complicated procedure. The appellee was permitted to assert new claims after the institution of the trial period. And that actually created some confusion in the record. However, other than referring to the deletion of those services because of the answer and because the record had essentially changed, there was no acknowledgement or analysis over on the 128 registration at all in the July decision. This was prejudicial to Sky. The services in the 128 registration were far broader than the services in the two registrations that the board looked at.
And in particular, you're relying on the language television programs, films. As I'm looking at the November specification for the 128 registration at page 821.
Right.
Is that what you're specifically relying on?
Yes, production, Your Honor, production of motion pictures, streaming video content on demands, and distribution of, in addition to other language films. And I paraphrase, that would be an appendix volume 103. The board did not consider that registration at all, although those withstood attack. Had the board not bifurcated the proceeding, it would have had to, by necessity, acknowledge those goods and services and analyze that. Those goods and services are directly competitive and overlap with the Sky Cinema's services.
What about the discussion in the board's opinion at page A70? Where they talk about whether the operation of movie theaters is a distinct departure from the services the opposer has performed. And they talk about how, you know, whether, I wonder whether this discussion makes this whole argument somewhat irrelevant, because here they're talking about comparing having a movie theater to actually just distributing movies.
Your Honor, that is raised in the context of the natural zone of expansion argument,
right,
which I'll get to as well. However, the board, and looking at Appendix Volume 166, states, and I quote, "The board, however, does not accord Sky International its argument that there's overlap in holding instead," and I quote again, "we find no record evidence supporting that assertion. On this record, opposer has not met its burden to show that applicants' movie theater services or are the same as or overlap with opposers' news programming or reporting services." The board specifically refers to the news services only and not to any of the other services.
Yeah, but if they don't think, if the board made a fact finding that there's no natural zone of expansion to go from a movie theater, or to go from, I'm sorry, production and distribution of films to a movie theater. Why do you think that they would consider the films and videos mentioned in registration 128 would overlap with movie theaters?
Well, Your Honor, the board doesn't even analyze that. News services and movie theaters, one may assume, are different, and looking at it with blinders as to, which we contend the board did, as to simply news services, perhaps there isn't an overlap. But the 128 registration covered goods that are overlapping, and under this court's precedent, those would be viewed more broadly. The language on the four corners of the registration, of the 128 registration, clearly encompasses distribution of movies. Distribution of movies can also be through movie theater services. The appellee also has stated that its services, its movie theater services, and I would like to remind the court that this is an intent to use application that the appellee filed, not a use-based application, but the record shows that those films were to be shown digitally, which is...
They found that relevant consumers are unlikely to perceive the operation of a movie theater as being within the natural zone of expansion of streaming or film production services. Why doesn't that address... you make it so the error you're asserting is harmless.
Your Honor, it's not harmless because if they had acknowledged the 128 registration, they could have not come to that conclusion. Also, after the decision, because the 128 registration specifically specifies distribution of film. It specifically specifies services that are overlapping and competitive with movie theater
but
services.
You're assuming that distribution of film is overlapping and competitive with running movie theaters.
Your Honor, that, and I'll move into the second point now, because the argument we made in the natural zone of expansion argument is that there is significant evidence of a natural zone of expansion, including two market studies from the movie industry that specifically reference the overlap between movie services and streaming services. So the actual trade industry notes the overlap. So here we have a 128 registration.
Okay, I don't remember the evidence specifically, but when you say movie services, what?
Theater services.
I see. Actual exhibition, public space of movies.
Yes, Your Honor.
But you don't have, at least at this moment, an exhibition service as part of your registrations.
Your Honor, the test for natural zone of expansion isn't whether or not the senior user, and Sky International is the senior user, the 128 registration, as the other registrations, withstood attack and would be considered to have priority over the intent to use application that was opposed.
When you started on this natural zone of expansion point, you said something like there was significant evidence. That's not right. There was significant evidence from the movie industry or something. That's not enough to overturn a contrary factual finding, is it?
Your Honor, the factual evidence, the record showed that there are four factors for the natural zone of expansion. Is this a distinct departure? It's not a distinct departure. The 128 registration covers distribution of films. A movie theater shows and distributes films. They're the nature of the goods and services. Sky International has submitted evidence that they do have movie theaters, not in the United States, but they have movie theaters in the United Kingdom. There are trade association studies that have been submitted that show the direct relationship in the competition between a movie theater and a streaming service. And in fact,
I have a concern because I know that there's contrary evidence that the board relied on. And so I think that Judge Toronto's question goes to, you know, that the standard of review that we have here is whether substantial evidence supports the board's finding. And so you're pointing out contrary evidence. Well, first of all, I don't know where that contrary evidence is. So if you have a cite for us, that might be helpful. But secondly, how do you deal with the contrary evidence?
Your Honor, I submit that there isn't contrary evidence. There isn't evidence in the record except for the comments made without any cite to any particular evidence that would run contrary to, first of all, the specification in the 128 registration, which is not referred to at all in the July decision. In terms of the other citations, the movie theater, the market studies are at Appendix Volume 5, 4593, which is a 2014 study, which would necessarily rely on information before 2014. Volume 5, 4627, is a 2016 study. Neither of these studies were subject to any objections. They were not referenced at all. SkySim had stated to its own investors, the appellee had stated to its own investors that its primary competition would be streaming services. And I'll refer your honors to Appendix Volume 1, page 861 on the top of the page.
You have not only gone into, but gone over your rebuttal time. I'll restore the rebuttal time.
Okay, thank you.
We should hear from the other side. Thank you. Mr. Banowski?
Yes, Your Honor.
Please.
Thank you. May it please the court. This case was tried to the board on a fairly significant factual record. The board determined, based on that factual record, that there was no likelihood of confusion, and also ruled in favor of the applicant in connection, at least in part, in connection with this counterclaim for cancellation. The opposer's primary argument is that the board erred by bifurcating the trial between the opposition and the counterclaim. And it is the applicant's contention that no such bifurcation took place. The fact is that the discovery was not bifurcated. All of the discovery was conducted before any evidence was presented. The evidence was not bifurcated. All of the parties' evidence was submitted in the ordinary course prior to the oral hearing. The briefing was not bifurcated. All the parties' briefing was done in the ordinary course prior to the oral hearing. And the hearing was not bifurcated. The parties argued the totality of their case at the oral hearing. First decision, in fact, grants judgment on a portion of the applicant's counterclaim and discusses the counterclaim. What happened here is the board simply deferred ruling on the balance of the applicant's counterclaim in light of its decision to dismiss the underlying opposition. There's also nothing in the opinion in the decision that suggests that the board did not review all of the evidence presented. That's the opposer's primary argument, is that the board failed to consider the evidence that was presented. In fact, the board specifically cited the portions of the record which were submitted solely in connection with the counterclaim. including portions of the affidavit of William Banofsky, excuse me, the deposition of William Banofsky, which was submitted in rebuttal, and portions of the declaration of Brett Shelton, which were specifically submitted in response to the counterclaim.
Mr. Banofsky, did the board specifically address the matter of distribution of film?
The board did address the matter of distribution of film in their discussion of the natural zone of expansion. And so the opposer complains that the board did not consider all of the uses embodied in the 128 registration, but it's clear when you review the board's treatment of the question of the relatedness of the services, and especially the treatment of the natural zone of expansion, the board considered that the opposer services included streaming services and production services and distribution services and distribution of film, and made the factual determination based on the record that there was not evidence that moving from film streaming services production and distribution, that moving into a retail movie theater would be within that natural zone of expansion.
Mr. Banofsky, what is your best evidence that was before the board for the proposition that exhibition of films is not within the natural zone of expansion from distribution of films?
Probably the prospectus that was submitted to the investors in Sky Cinemas, as well as the deposition testimony of William Banofsky. That details what services are actually required in order to have exhibition of retail films. You have to have a facility, you have to lease a bricks and mortar facility, you have to have all of the appropriate exhibition equipment, which is, I mean, the opposer refers to, you know, digital projection. Well, digital projection is just the latest technology in live exhibition. You still have to have all that equipment, but that equipment is not equipment that would be used for streaming services or for production services or for distribution services. That technology and that equipment only comes into play at the end of the line, if you will, if somebody chooses to show up at a retail movie theater. And then there's also all of the related services that go along with going to the movies. You have to have online and retail ticket sales. You have to have concessions. You have to have, in this case, food and beverage service. There's a whole litany of services which are unique to the movie theater industry, which have nothing to do with the streaming industry, the production industry, or the distribution industry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And so there is substantial evidence in the record supporting the notion that making the jump, if you will, to movie theaters is simply not within the natural zone of expansion of any of the three areas of services or goods that the 128 registration in this case provided for, and that is broadcasting, whether it's streaming or cable, production or distribution, that those are all independent of film exhibition.
Do you agree that, well, go ahead, you had more.
Yeah, it's also important to note that this should be looked at, that the perspective from this is actually the consumer perspective. It's not the question whether or not the opposer in this case had the financial or technical wherewithal to enter the movie theater business. The question is whether the consumer of these products or these goods and services would view that it would be in the natural zone of expansion, if you will, for a producer of movies or a distributor of movies to then open up movie theater operations. And there's no evidence in the record suggesting that the consumers of these services would make any such connection.
Okay, my next question is, do you agree with your opposing counsel that the version of the registration specification that we should be looking at for purposes of this case, all issues in this case, is the November 2020 order, which appears on, it's, I think, on page 21 of the appendix. 20 and 21.
I do agree that the November 2020 version of the goods and services is the appropriate version.
All right. Thank you.
In connection with this review. In addition, the board actually recites in its order that they conducted a review of the entire record. They say on page 54 of the opinion that they carefully reviewed the record. And the opinion itself obviously illuminates each element of the record. And so there is no, there's nothing in the record or in the opinion itself to suggest or from which this court could conclude that the board failed to review the entirety of the record.
So what pertinence do you think, or what significance would you assign to the board's reference, albeit brief, on page 38 of the appendix to the, and I'll quote, "The mark in these registrations is more similar to applicants' mark Sky Cinemas than our opposers' other marks. In particular, we note that they," these are the two marks that were at issue before the board, that the board regarded as being the principal marks at issue. "We note that they are standard character marks, which means that they are devoid of potentially distinguishing graphical elements." Do you understand that to be indicating that the 128, which was a stylized version of Sky News, that the board was saying that that is different in a significant way? Because the board is a little cryptic on that point, but what do you make of that passage?
What I make of that passage is if the board is that the most, well, I'm going to say the most generic, for lack of a better term, the most generic version of any of these marks are the two marks that the board focused on, and they rightly concluded that they determined that there's no likelihood of confusion with respect to those marks, and there can't be a likelihood of confusion with respect to the other marks, which all differ from the applicant's marks more significantly in more significant ways, because generally they either have different terms in them, like Sky Pro Cycling, for instance, or in connection with this 128 mark, they have all of the additional graphical elements which are not contained in these two marks. And so I think that they're just coming to that conclusion. I also think that their conclusion is substantially correct, that the goods and services contained in those two marks was substantially the same as the goods and services in the 128 mark, which is the only other mark that the opposer suggests should have been considered, although it enumerates a number of different, more detailed services. It doesn't add any significant subject matter over the broadly defined general services in the two marks that were considered, with the possible exception of distribution. But as we know already, the board considered the evidence of distribution use and credited the opposer with having been a distributor of films. And I think it's important to know that the board credited the opposer with having been a distributor of films, even though we submit, and I say the record supports, that there's not actually any evidence that the opposer actually distributed any films under any of these marks. And the evidence is, and the decision recites this, that the film distribution was done not even by opposer, but by related companies and under different marks. But I think what is really important here is the fact that the board determined that distribution was not within the natural zone of expansion for movie theater exhibition services means that those services would not have been considered as overlapping in any event, even if distribution was considered or should have been considered, then it wasn't. I contend that distribution services were considered, and I contend that the decision bears that out in all respects. And in this case, what is true about the evidence, what is true about the opposer's evidence, is that the opposer has continually conflated its use of different marks other than the registered marks that were the subject matter for the opposition, and has conflated its use of those marks in the United States with its use of other marks, either here or abroad. And it's important to note that in its trial briefing, the opposer contended that it owned a family of marks under this Sky anchor term, to which the opposer objected, and the board, in reviewing that, determined A, that the board sustained the applicant's objection, that there was no family of marks pled, but then went further and determined on the merits that there was no family of marks proven. And so the question really is, where is the evidence of the use of any of these registered marks, right, in connection with services anywhere approaching a movie theater? And there's no evidence of any of that use. And so I see that my time is almost expired. If there are no questions, then I will conclude.
I think there are no questions. So
okay,
you may
thank
conclude.
You very much.
Thank you for your argument. You have 4 minutes to read.
Thank you, Your Honor. We disagree that the board reviewed the entire record when rendering its dismissal of the opposition. The board, after rendering its decision, there is an exchange that's in the appendix between the parties. The applicant and counterclaimant was asked whether or not they wanted to continue to pursue the cancellation. And after the applicant contended it wished to continue the cancellation, including marks that were no longer at issue in the proceedings, the board issued an order asking the parties to refer to the record because they would not be tasked with reviewing the entire record with respect to the services claimed in the cancellation. Had the board issued an order initially that was not bifurcated, that necessarily would have been part of it. But it was clear from the post briefing that was done by the parties and subject to the board's order that followed the July decision that the board pushed aside the cancellation. The order in July reads as though, well, applicant, you got what you want. Do you really want to pursue this cancellation that deals with quite a lot of goods and services, for which Sky had put forth evidence? In terms of the differences between, I'd like to go back to Judge Stoll's point, you know, is the Sky News block letter mark different from the Sky News stylized mark? Sky Cinema's application is in block letters. So Sky Cinema, could, in fact, use its mark in the same stylization as Sky News's 128 registration at this point. The Sky News 128 registration is narrower, and instead of being looked at as against the broader Sky Cinema's application, because a block letter application is protected to be used in any stylization. So the senior user of a narrower registration is viewed by the board as having greater rights because their rights should not be diminished against a junior user with a broader registration or broader application. So Sky Cinemas, at this point, if their mark proceeds to registration, could put up a billboard that looks exactly like the Sky News registration because the board has already ruled that it is permitted, and because the Sky Cinemas application was filed in block letters. That's a different situation, Your Honors, if you've got two stylized marks that are vastly different, and that there's subject matter in the applications or registrations that really make those marks look different. For example, if there's a bicycle image or a basketball player, or if there's curly cues all over them, and you're comparing two marks that visually look very different, but there's nothing to suggest that these two marks look different. The only thing that can be concluded, and this is indeed a bifurcation, it is absolutely a bifurcation of a decision. And the decision looks at the validity of the registrations that Sky cited in its opposition, and which have a presumption of validity and ownership. And in fact, in the July decision, the board acknowledges that priority wouldn't be an issue except if the mark is attacked. So it only looked at the marks that weren't attacked. So priority wouldn't be an issue. Instead of analyzing the whole thing and issuing a single decision, like in the Jack Wolfskin case, where you have both the cancellation and the opposition. We know of no situation where the board has done what it has done in this case, where it has bifurcated any issues before rendering a decision without the consent of the parties and an opportunity to be heard. The first time Sky learned of this was in the decision, on the last page of the decision.
Thank you. Thank you. Your time has elapsed. Thank you to both counsel here and abroad. The case is submitted.